the darkness at thy speaking, it was done.
Welcome to Sermons from Zion Lutheran Church of Gwinner, North Dakota. Zion Lutheran Church is committed to the message of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins, for the church and the world. The following sermon is from Reverend Dr. Matthew Richard.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully. And behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus responded to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. Then he took him and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, "Which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out?" And they could not reply to these things. Now he told a parable to those who were invited, when he noticed how they chose their places of honor, saying to them, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give your place to this person,' and then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
In the name of Jesus, amen. There's a habit among those of us in the church to either add to or subtract from God's law. That is to say, we take God's law and we expound on it in such a way that we make God's law do all sorts of things that it was never intended to do by adding our own man-made human traditions to it. If we're not doing this, then we are taking God's law and then deconstructing it. We are excusing it away. Yes, we either add to God's law or we subtract from God's law so that God's law has no application or relevance in our lives or in the life of the church. But why are we so prone to do this as Christians and as individuals? Well, we like to take God's law and we add our own human traditions over top of it because we want God's law to actually work for us. That is to say, we do not dismiss the law, but we take a hold of it and then we build human traditions on top of it and we put our opinions on top of it as well in order to impersonate God's law. More specifically, the goal is to make sure our man-made rules look like and sound like and act like God's law when they actually are not. Once we have successfully constructed our man-made laws and our man-made rules, we then neglect God's word, his original commandments, and proceed to condemn those who do not follow our man-made laws. Whereas those who honor these new rules and these new laws that we have created, we congratulate them and we accept them as our equal. It is true. Those who do not honor our human traditions, we condemn them as being rebellious and liberal and sinfully evil when oftentimes they are not. Now, if we do not go this route, there's another way of handling God's law. And that is this, that we excuse God's law away by deconstructing it or writing it off as if it is not relevant to us today. We will say things like this: "Well, Jesus never specifically spoke about that Old Testament law in the New Testament, so obviously Jesus saw it as unrelevant and a non-issue." Or we say things like this: "Well, that was true for people in the New Testament, but now it is the 21st century, and we are surely more evolved than they were. We're more sophisticated than those old backwards individuals. Their old laws do not apply to us in the 21st century." Then there are those times that we simply will not talk about God's law at all. It gets buried underneath all the sappy talk of tolerance and love. As a result, we subtract from God's law. We actually reduce it to nothing more than some mere guidelines that are kind of there to follow us if we want. Tragically, this way of dismissing God's law, it actually puts it off to the side. It tosses it off, makes it irrelevant. It buries it underneath all of our sappiness and love and tolerance talk. We reason in our minds that those who challenge our dismissal of the law are nothing more than those legalistic, religious, strict nitpicks who have exchanged so-called Christian love and tolerance for mean-spirited hate and bigotry. With all this said, though, we still have yet to identify the reason why we try to add to God's law on the one hand or subtract from God's law on the other hand. Why do we do this? Why do we do this as Christians? Jesus, in today's gospel reading, shows us what is going on with this kind of thinking. Jesus is in the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, where he is a guest. While in the house, a sick man, he actually heard that Jesus was in his vicinity, so he went to this house to see Jesus without being invited. He really did not care what people thought. He just came into the presence of Jesus. He did not care if he got harsh looks or if he was rejected or scorned. You see, the man, he had dropsy. It was a condition that caused swelling when water pockets collected in the body tissue. So here's the catch, though. The sick man with dropsy, with his disease, comes to Jesus to be healed, which is good, but the catch is this. It was the day of the Sabbath, the day of rest, which means this. Was it legitimate for Jesus to heal the man on the Sabbath? It seems that there are only two options for Jesus. If Jesus honors the supposed Sabbath by not healing the man with dropsy, then Jesus would be accused as being an unloving and ungracious jerk who refused to help the poor sick man. Equally, though, if Jesus goes the way of showing grace to the sick man and healing him, then Jesus would be charged as doing work on the Sabbath. He would be accused of one who is trying to destroy the law of the Sabbath. Either way, Jesus would be damned by the Pharisees. Should Jesus do a miracle, not do supposed work on the Sabbath, and uphold the law of the Sabbath? Should Jesus be a supposed jerk? Or should Jesus heal the man and be considered a radical liberal who apparently breaks the no-work rule on the Sabbath? Now Jesus, knowing that he was in a poisonous plot, no doubt about it, it was a poisonous plot. He actually turned the tables on the Pharisees and the religious leaders, and he asked them, he said this, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? Jesus was putting the pressure on them to answer the question. However, they would not, I repeat, they would not give him an answer. They were put to shame before Jesus. So in front of the silent and shamed Pharisees, Jesus actually took the man, he took this man with dropsy, and he healed him. He healed him, he made him well, and he sent him on his way. Now, this might cause you and me some confusion today. Did Jesus violate the law of the Sabbath? Is Jesus some radical liberal who rejects God's law for the sake of love and grace and compassion? My friends, this is not the case. Jesus did not break the third commandment. He did not break the third commandment by healing this man, but he did, I repeat, he did break the Pharisees' traditions and man-made laws that they had applied over top of the third commandment. You see, the Pharisees, they had numerous traditions attached to the Sabbath day of rest, the third commandment. For example, they had specific categories of work that could and could not be done on the Sabbath, even dictating how many steps one could walk on the Sabbath day to determine whether or not they were working or not. To the point, though, the Pharisees were acting like they were fulfilling the commandment of the Sabbath by doing no manual work whatsoever. Oh, how they were so mistaken. The Pharisees were so mistaken. And how easy is it for us to fall into the same trap as well? Mankind was not created for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was created for mankind. In other words, the Sabbath is not some sort of mean-spirited command that is given in order for you and me to check it off the list, check, as if we're going to prove to God that we are worthy to be his disciple. Furthermore, the third commandment is not some sort of oppressive command that is imposed upon us where God punishes you and me by making us get out of bed early to come to church. It is not some sort of command that we need to diminish or explain away in order to prevent it from ruining vacation plans or weekend lake trips. No, this is not the case. This is not the case. God's law is not evil, but it is good. Dear friends, we must repent of making God's law out to be as if it is evil and not good. The law is God's way of protecting his good gifts to us. We, though, make it into something evil, something that we either need to resist and escape from or overcome it by putting a twist on it. We must repent of this. The law is good. It is not evil. Now, dear friends, too often, God's commandments, and especially this third commandment about the Sabbath day, are misunderstood. That is to say, we fool ourselves when we think that the third commandment is speaking only, I repeat, only about a certain day of the week when we have church, or that it is speaking only about not doing any physical work on a Sunday, or that it is speaking only about the day of the week which the old blue laws did not allow businesses to be open on Sundays. It is not about this. See, we need to grasp that we do not keep the third commandment, honoring the Sabbath day, by restraining from work on this day, as if our inactivity somehow earns us kudo points before God. Furthermore, we do not dismiss the third commandment as if it is some irrelevant commandment that is not applicable in our $18 trillion economy that runs 24/7. But rather, this day, we together as his church can confess correctly this day that the third commandment, this third commandment of honoring the Sabbath, is a gift from God. It is God's way of protecting us. It is his way of protecting us from physical overdoing of ourselves. It is a calling to us to physically rest at least one day a week so that our bodies can be refreshed. It is a gift for us to rest from our labors, just as God rested on the seventh day after he created the world. Simply stated, my friends, the Lord gives us this third commandment as a gift because he does not want us to utterly wear out our bodies with constant work. Now, with this said, even though rest is needed and provided by this third commandment, that itself is not the main point of the third commandment. So you may be saying to yourself, Pastor, what is the main point of the third commandment then? And the main point is this: it is really on God's word, his word for you and for me. You see, every day is intended for us to hear God's word. Every day to hear God's word. It isn't just limited to Sundays. And every day is holy because God's word makes every day holy in your lives. But we set aside certain days, mainly Sundays, for the purpose of hearing God's word. We do this so that everyone may have the time and the opportunity to attend a public worship service such as this. And that, my friends, is the main point of the third commandment. It teaches us that public worship services are ultimately about hearing and learning God's word, receiving his gifts of life and salvation. The Sabbath day of rest, is the day for you and for me to receive from the Lord. It is a day for us to rest in which we are given the freedom and the time, I might add, to attend a divine service so that we can come together to hear and receive God's word and sacraments, and then pray and praise the Lord God Almighty. Now keep in mind that on that Sabbath day, some 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus' grace and his mercy and his healing were applied to that sick man with dropsy. It was a day where the man with dropsy actually received Jesus and his gifts. Guess what? The same is true for you this day, and me as well. Today is a day set aside for you to receive Jesus and his gifts in his word of absolution, in his proclaimed word from the pulpit, in his sung word in the hymns, in his body and his blood, which are given and shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Today is not about restricting any work that comes up, which cannot be avoided, and it is not a day that we can casually write off and sleep in, but rather, it is about a God who wants nothing more, than to come to you and me and to serve us and to give us true rest in his gifts, to give us gifts of life and love and forgiveness. Calling you to rest so that the Lord can give you gifts. This is what it is all about. This is what it has always been about. This is why this church exists. This is why you are here today, to rest and to receive God's gifts. Consider this, my friends, dear baptized saints. Nowhere else in the world are you called to rest in order to receive free gifts except right here in Christ Church. Baptized saints, this morning and this day, rest. Rest this day. Receive this day, for this is the day that the Lord has made to give you his forgiveness and to give you his life and to give you his salvation. In the name of our eternal rest, Jesus Christ. Amen. Give us gifts to sing thy glory, tongues thy mercy to proclaim.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast sermon. You can access a full manuscript of today's sermon from Pastor Matthew Richard's blog at www.pastormattrichard.org. Or visit Zion Lutheran Church's website at www.ziongwinner.org. The Lord bless and keep you.